Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about ribis for the last few weeks, and now I want to kind of shift focus and talk about heter iska, which is the way that ribis becomes permitted. Now, if I lend you money, I lend you $4, I can't get $5 back. But if I invest $4, so I am allowed to earn money on my investments. That's permitted. Heter iska is a halachic mechanism by which we transform a loan into an investment, and therefore it becomes permitted to get what would otherwise be called interest. That's the basic idea of heter iska. Now, what I want to do tonight is talk about heter iska as history, as halacha, and ha'arama. Okay? They all start with H. I don't know. Remember, Sesame Street is brought to us by the letter H, right? So today's shir is brought to us by the letter H. Heter iska, history, halacha, ha'arama. Now, the word ha'arama, by the way, means a loophole. Is it an illegal mechanism to avoid the prohibition? So that we'll get to later on. History. Okay, so when was heter iska invented? When did it come up? So it's not clear exactly. In the Gemara, you don't see heter iska at all. In the Rishonim, you don't really see any heter iska. The first real heter iska that we see was developed by Rabbi Yeshaya Menachem ben Reb Yitzchak Avigdor's. Right? He's called Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor. He died in August of the year 1599. He was the rabbi of first the town called Ludmer. My grandmother, Laha Shalom, came from Ludmer, a town in Poland, and then he was the rabbi of Krakow. Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's, we know almost nothing about this. From Mazel Tov. Oh, wow, excellent. Right? Now it's official because it's on tape. Right? So Menachem Mendel Avigdor's developed the heter iska. We don't know exactly when. He died in the year 1599. We'll talk about exactly what he developed. The thing is that the heter iska of Menachem Mendel Avigdor's was known at his time, and in 1607 already, the Sma is the main commentary on Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. The Sma already in 1607 went to a fair, the Gribnitz Fair or something, and at that fair, he apparently, or according to tradition, he said, oh, the heter iska of Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's is a good thing, use it. It was not written down, though. We know that people were talking about Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's heter iska. It was not written down, though, until 1681. Okay, so the heter iska of Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's was first written in this book. This is called the Nachlas Shiva. As you can see, it says from the Library of Norman Lamb. This is one point why Dr. Lamb cleared out his office. So a number of rebellion, we went there and we took some of the goodies. So this is one of the goodies I got. The Nachlas Shiva is the classic book on shtaros. If you ever want to know how do you write a get, how do you write a ksuba, how do you write, right? It's all in here, the Nachlas Shiva. The Nachlas Shiva is the son of the Taz. So it's like a classic book of halacha. It was printed in 1681, and that's the first time that they printed the heter iska of the Maharam, the heter iska of Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's. It was not written down until 1681, and everyone now, if you look at any heter iska that is written, usually they're written in Hebrew. First of all, bad idea. We want to write them in English, not in Hebrew. We want you to be able to understand it. Right? That's what we're going to try to accomplish tonight. But many of them say at the bottom, Nase al pi he yotuf ayin of mem he resh mem. Nase al pi heter iskav maharam. That's what it says. That's what people do. Although, we should point out that the heter iska that we do is not really the same as the Maharam's, so let's kind. But we just say it's based on the Maharam, so let's kind of get into this. Iska is a technical term in the Gemara. Bav Metzia Kuf Dal. Amar Amri Nahar Doi. Amina Hardai. By the way, the first source over here is from Wikipedia, which is the Hebrew Wikipedia, but somehow there's no entry in the English Wikipedia of Reb Menachem Mendel Avigdor's and the Heter Iska, but in the Hebrew Wikipedia you have it. I couldn't find the translation button on my, I don't know, maybe there are people here who are better than at this than I am.
What?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a button that you can just push and, like, translate it.
Oh, you can also do right. If you're in Chrome, you can usually do right-click and translate. Oh. Although, like, Google Chrome...
So you have to explain this stuff to me. Okay, I don't know. But the Gemara talks about Iska. Iska is a technical term. Amina Hardai, hi, Iska is palga milva upalga picadon, avad rabbana denichale lelove venichale lemalve. And Iska is a technical term. It is half loan and half picadon. A picadon is something I give you to watch. Let's go slowly. Ribis is, and I lend you money, you can't pay me back more money than I lent. Correct? A loan, by definition, is something that the recipient of the loan, the borrower, is responsible for. That's the definition of a loan. So if I lend you $1,000, and unfortunately a fire comes, and it burns up the $1,000 bill, do you still have to pay back?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No? A loan is the responsibility of the borrower, the recipient. A picadon is something that I give you to watch, but it really is mine. No? A loan, I give it to you, it's yours. A picadon, I give it to you, and it's mine. Now, we do not want... I lend you money. I lend you $4. I want to get $5 back. That's called ribis. The reason why it's a loan, and it's prohibited as ribis, is because really, I am guaranteed to receive the result, no? I make a loan. I'm guaranteed I'm going to get the money back. Now, yeah, you can, in theory, default. But if you default, all that means is that, like the Pasuk says in Mishle, you are lo v'rasha v'lo yishalem. You're just a bad person who's not keeping your obligation. You are fully obligated to pay that money back. That's a loan. A picadon, however, unlike a loan, is a picadon is the responsibility of the giver. I don't want to use the term lender, because it's not really a lender, but the giver. Now, if a picadon gets lost, who loses? The giver loses. Correct? People want to retain their profits, but reduce their risks. Right? Is this like the basic rule of investment? I want to earn money without risk. That's what a loan is. I earn money without risk. That's called ribis. In order to make something an investment, there has to be some risk that the giver accepts. If the giver is not accepting any risk, that is halva'a. That's a loan. That's ribis. So I, the giver, I give you $4. I have to have some risk over here. The risk is that I could lose some of the money. Iska is a technical term in the Gemara for chetzi mova chetzi picadon, which means when I lend you $4, I'm not really lending you $4. I'm investing $2 with you, and I'm lending you $2. And the profits are not going to come from the loan, because that would be ribis. The profits are coming from the investment, from the picadon. But I don't want to give the entire thing as a picadon, because then I'm opening myself up to risk. Because if it gets lost, what will happen is I get washed out. So therefore, the Gemara develops this idea called Iska, which is chetzi milva chetzi picadon. The Gemara never said that we should arrange our loans to become a Iska. Later on, at the time of Maharam, they decided to arrange their loans to become Iska based on this Gemara, which has nothing to do with ribis. Right? This Gemara is just a regular business arrangement. So far, so good? Now, The funny thing is like this. Historically, the Maharam did not invoke this Gemara on Daf Kuf Dalet. The Gemara that we talk about, the Iskas, Chetzi Mil, is Pal Gamil, Vapal Gepikadon, Half Mil, Half Pikadon, that was not invoked by the Maharam. Instead, the Maharam invoked a din in Shulchan Aruch, in the next source, in Simin, Kuf Samach Zayin, Se'if Aleph. Okay? It says like this, Malva Adam L'Chaveiro Mana, Al T'nai She'is Asik Bo L'Revach HaMilva, Ad She'yehe Shnei Manim, V'yu B'Achrayis HaMalva Ad Oso Zman, U'Shiyu Shnei Manim, Yachzir Shnei HaManim L'Malva, M'Sham Ve'Elach Yia, Kol HaRevach L'Lova. Okay? It goes like this. I lend you a dollar. Not really lend. They have to expunge the word lend from our vocabulary for tonight. I give you a dollar. The dollar is a picadon until it becomes $2. You know Isaac Bashevis Singer, you know, Tony and the Spoons, right? And that dollar suddenly... That dollar suddenly becomes $2. When the dollar becomes $2, so then it will change. Instead of being a picadon, it now becomes a loan. That's the case in Shulchan Aruch. I give you a dollar, right? It is an investment. When the investment earns profit and now becomes $2, so investment stage is over and then it moves to loan stage. That, Shulchan Aruch says, is permitted. It's permitted because you're earning profit from the investment. Right? That's fine. You're allowed to earn money from investments. We don't know for sure it's ever going to become a loan. If it becomes a loan and you earn profit from that, maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's not called ribbis. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. However, Shulchan Aruch writes, I can only do this if I pay you, the recipient, if I pay you money as a manager's fee. I am investing, right? I am the investing partner. They're usually in businesses, what are the terms that they use? There's the person who supplies the capital, and the person who... Any of you business people?
Me? Yeah.
Okay? So someone supplies the capital, and then someone is the managing partner. Right? The managing partner does the work. I give you the dollar.
Yep.
You are now the managing partner. You're supplying the elbow grease, and I'm supplying the cash.
Right.
Now, I have to pay you for your services as managing partner.
Yeah.
If I don't pay you for your services as managing partner, so effectively that means that you are giving me something that's worth money for free, right? Because your skill as a managing partner is worth something. If I don't pay you, you're giving me something for free. And the halacha would view that like ribbis mukdemes, like early ribbis, because, right, we're going to say, hey, you know what, why are you working for free? You're working for free because you know that once this picadon earns money, so then it's going to become a loan. And you wanted to earn money in order to get a loan. So that's like if you take a dollar out of your pocket and you give me the dollar in order that you should receive a loan. That's called ribbis. Right? That's called ribbis mukdemes. Is this too confusing already? It's only going to get more confusing.
No.
So we're trying to... the way the Heter Isk of Maharam worked is... that the money, the split between milvan pikadon was a split over time. And you have to pay the guy for, you have to pay the guy for his work. If you don't pay him for his work, it becomes ribbis mukdemes. So far, so good. But the Maharam, and if you look at the Heter Iska of the Maharam based it on this din in Shulchan Aruch, but he added a few things. Okay, let's go slowly. I give you a money. I give you, let's use instead of $1, $100. I give you $100. For the Maharam, originally the $100 is picadon. When it earns another $100, it becomes a milva. The way we do it is slightly different. We assume that $100 is $50 milva, $50 picadon. Correct? Now, I, as the lender, or as the giver of the funds, I want to ensure that I'll get my money back. I have a problem. Because you could always claim that half of that money got lost, right? Or you'll say that you're only going to pay me back half of it because the pikadon got lost, right?
I mean, that's a risk of every loan.
So every loan, there's a risk just that the guy's going to be a really bad person. Over here, you're taking a risk that the recipient might not be a bad person and your money's still going to get lost.
Really.
If I borrow money and don't pay back, I'm lover, rasha, v'lo yishalim. But if I watch your money and then a fire comes and it burns it down, I'm not a rasha. Right? It's out of my control. And that's a somewhat likely scenario. So I want to guarantee that I will get my money back.
Well,
you can. I want to guarantee that the picadon I'll get back. How do I guarantee I'll get it back?
Well, first of all, there's a chance that it's going to go bad. If you do a credit check on the person, and the credit check shows that the guy has good credit, then loans are more likely not to go bad
than the picadon, and therefore the Maharam says, how do I guarantee that I'll get the money back? So he suggests as follows, and this is what we do in all of our heter iskas.
Okay.
What we do is, we say, you know what? Recipient of the funds, if you say that a fire came and burned that money down, you got to prove it. You need witnesses who will testify that a fire came and burned the money down. And not any witness is good. You need super duper super religious witnesses. The only witnesses in some of the shtaros that worked was the rabbi and the chazan. Nobody, I think in Breuer's, the eidim at weddings used to be the rabbi and the chazan, right? Right? Your father's probably an eid at like 200 weddings, right? This is a very old practice, that the only people who would be trusted in town is the rabbi, someone else I guess, and the chazan. They're the only people who would be trusted. And they're the only people who could say that the money got lost. Now, here's the thing. If the rabbi and the chazan say that the money got lost, they'll be believed. But, in all likelihood, they're not going to know enough to say that the money got lost. Because I give you money to invest. Right. Are the rabbi and the chazan hanging out with you the whole time to check the way you invest the money? Probably not.
No.
So they don't really know that the money got lost. Okay, but they're the only ones who are trusted. There's actually a discussion when Moshe Feinstein writes that when you do a heter iska, you should not say specifically which business you're investing the money in, because sometimes if I say specifically which business I'm investing the money in, that can create a situation where obviously the market went down. If I invest in real estate in New York City in the 1970s, right, it's clear the market is going down. And then you can't say, oh, you know, I'm paying you for profit on the investment. Hell no da hecky. What? You invested in real estate, it went up, you're the one person in the whole plan that the real estate went up? That's not likely. So Rav Moshe says, I give you money to invest and I should not specify what you're investing the money in. I actually give you that Rav Moshe the Rav Moshe is on page 2. It's Igros Moshe Chelek Beisim and Samach Gimel. Rav Moshe basically writes that you should not specify Od Yesh Leida. It's like the middle paragraph. It begins Od. Page 2, the middle paragraph, you should know, Be'inyan Heta Iska, Shelo Tov Lefnei HaMalbek Shetiyah HaHalva La'Isak Miyuchad, Kimo L'Kni Espatim B'Karkaos, The Az Efshar Shekuli HaMayodin, B'Koshikin HaBank, Im HaYehefsid. Right? In that case, everyone's going to know there was a loss. So don't specify it's going to be for a specific thing. Rather, it will be a general investment. And it's a better idea not to have only the rabbi and the chazan, but you have to have some people who could theoretically know what's going on, but it has to be Edom Ksherim. So if Kosher Edom say that it got lost, they're believed. Now, I am given the money, and I am investing that money. And I'm going to pay you money back as your portion of the investment. But here's the thing. In theory, you should be getting 50% of the profits. So let's say I invest money in a building, and the building suddenly gets rezoned, and now instead of being worth $100, it's worth $100 million. In theory, you should be getting 50% of that profit. Because we have 50-50 partners.
Yeah.
Right? And I, the recipient, do not want to give you 50% of the profits. So, what I could do is, I could bring Edom about how much the profits were. But Edom are not going to know that. And that's not possible for Edom to know, really. So the Maharam said what you do is, the recipient of the money is supposed to swear that the profit was not so great. Right? The recipient of the money, right? In other words, you, the giver of the funds, is going to say, hey, maybe you earned $1 million, so I'm going to swear, no, I didn't. But here's the thing. Orthodox Jews don't like to swear. Right? And Orthodox Jews aren't supposed to swear.
Right.
So, the giver of the funds will say, you know what, Schwartz, you received the money. Really, you should swear, because I know that you earned $1 million, and I'm even entitled to $500,000. And really, you should swear that you didn't earn $1 million. But what I'll do is, I'll be nice. Instead of swearing, if you pay me 5%, so I'll exempt you from that Shavua. That's the way Heter Iska works. But well, the way Heter Iska works is, again, I give you money. Yeah. The money is not a complete loan. The money is half loan, half investment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That means I'm responsible by half, you're responsible by half. We should divide all profits. If it tanks, you need Adam to say it tanks. If you say, oh, it didn't tank, but you earned money, and the giver claims you earned millions and millions of dollars, so I'm going to say, no, I didn't, but I'm not believed. I'm only believed if I swear. And the Rishonim, or I shouldn't say Rishonim, the people who put Heter Iskas together say, no, we're not going to do an ordinary Shavua. We'll do a Shavua in middle of Shul with black candles, with Sifrei Torah out. We're going to scare the wits out of you. Now, you don't want to be scared. Too scary. So what you can do is you can say, oh, I'm not going to swear. Instead, I'll give you 5% to exempt me from that Shavua. So then you'll say, okay, I get my 5%. And what we have just done is we have approximated an interest-bearing loan without the halacha of ribis. Because what you are getting is profits. You're getting profits from the investment. We don't know how much you earned or not. You're supposed to swear how much you earned. But you don't want to swear, so this is called Pidyon Shavua. Right? Pidyon Shavua. You're buying the Shavua off by giving the 5%. That is the Heter Iska of the Maharam. Although not exactly the Maharam, because the Maharam is talking about a time shift, and we're doing the half milva, half pikadon at the same time. The Maharam is saying first it's a pikadon, then it becomes milva. What we do is at the same time, it's chetzi milva, chetzi pikadon. That is the basic story of Heter Iska. Now, here's the problem. Doesn't this sound like a complete subterfuge?
Yes.
This is like, Caroline?
I was going to ask, why is there any reason to do it the half and half way as opposed to the time-shifting way,
there are some technical reasons not to do the time-shifting way, which is the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch does not agree with that whole din in Shulchan Aruch about the time-shifting way. He thinks that too similar to a loan, it's forbidden. So therefore, this way is better. The problem is, even this way probably doesn't work according to the Vilna Gaon, so I don't know. It's not much of an advantage. it's a little bit neater. It's a little neater. Now, actually, let's maybe talk about the history a step further. Okay, and then maybe we'll read a Heter Iska together. And so the step further in the history is, if you turn to the last page of this packet, you see Sefer Takonas Rabbim, right? There is a book to fix the community, to fix a lot of people. Laharin Michsho Issa Ribis Miderecha Ama Yisod Heter Chazava Pimaram Zechut Tzadik Levracha, to solve the problem based on what the rabbi said and the Maram, the famous Maram, based on many rabbis, etc. This is by the Rebbe, Reb Alter Azriel Meir Eger, who's a grandson of Rebbe Kiva Eger, but he was a Hasidic fellow. He's the Rebbe of Lublin. Great. Reb Meir Eger noticed in 1924, okay, this is already not yet 100 years ago, it's pretty recent. Reb Meir Eger noticed that even from Jews, Jews with long beards and full burkas, Jews mamish, like, as frum as you can be, right? So there are Jews who are lending money with ribbis. And he says, this is like a terrible thing. And they don't even do a heter iska. So it's a terrible thing. So this fellow, Reb Alter Azriel Meir Eger, says, you know what? I'm going to come up with an idea called a heter iska klali. He decided that the balabatim in town should go to the rabbi and they should sign a document one time. Any loan that I make, any transaction that I make, if it says loan, it means investment. If it says interest, it means dividends. I hereby sign. And this is the document that he came up with. And this became a cause celeb in Europe. Does this do anything or not?
This doesn't even do the half and half thing. This is
so in theory it does the half and half thing, because they would sign the document in front of the rabbi, I am doing the Maharam's thing, and then they sign
it.
But the Maharam's thing is very well worked out. Over here, this is kind of a joke. But that's what he came up with. It's called the Heter Iska Klali. And the Heter Iska Klali became a huge issue. Is it possible to work? Maybe even if it works, we shouldn't do it because people will forget that there's a prohibition of ribbis, right? So it became a huge issue. In this sefer, which I got from HebrewBooks.org, so the mayor Arik was makel on this. Many others did not like it. Aaron Cutler, actually, who I think was like pretty young, I think he was in his 20s, he wrote a very long essay attacking this, right? He said this Heter Iska Klali is not worth the paper it's written on. It's kind of a joke. Now, one of the reasons why it might be a joke is because you don't have any real knowledge that you are doing anything. You see, do you have to understand what's going on with the Heter Iska? Turn in the packets. I have a section. Do you have to understand? And this is quoting from the Chochmas Adam. Here, turn to the top of the page 2. The Chochmas Adam writes, Gam tzrichim shua inyanim halolo mevu aren bishtar v'yedu v'yavinu ze halova v'hamalva. You have to understand what you're doing. No? Sometimes you ask people, I've sat at Dine Torah when this happened. What happened? I lent him money. Yeah, you lent him money. It's interesting. Like, what about ribbis? Oh, yeah, I did Heter Iska. And what happened? They have no idea. They have no idea that it's like half milva, half pikadon, that you're supposed to swear and I'm buying the shavua off you. They have no idea. You should know, a few years ago, I've been here now for almost 10 years on the show, so someone wanted to have a mortgage broker come and present in the shul to encourage people when they buy houses in northern New Jersey to use that mortgage broker for their homes. And the guy was going to rent space from the shul, etc. So I'm like, okay, he wants to do it. The board feels it's like a worthwhile thing. I'm not crazy about encouraging people to move out of the Heights, but okay, great. So then I think, one second, the guy, a Jewish fellow, Jewish mortgage home, was the Heter Iska. So I called the guy. Where's your Heter Iska? He's like, I have no idea. What is that? I'm like, you're a broker. This is what you do for a living. You have no idea. So he's like, speak to the boss. So I speak to the boss, a guy named David. good guy, who's in YU with me. David, where is the Heter Iska? He's like, I don't know. I took over this firm from someone before me. He told me that Reb David Cohen put something together as a Heter Iska. And when I give out the documents, the mortgage documents to the people, we have a line at the bottom of like page 27 that it says, you should know that whenever we speak about loan, we mean investment. So I'm like, okay, but do you have like a longer form? I have no idea. They don't know. So I told the shul board, we can't have this guy come and present in the shul, because the example I gave, which is might have been a little bit harsh, I said, you know what, would we allow someone to come to the shul to run an event where he's selling, let's say, sushi, to encourage people to buy from his sushi business, and he's selling sushi in the shul, and he's paying rent, but the sushi is treif. I'm like, this guy's selling treif mortgages. I can't do it. So they're like, well, what are you talking about? Like, it became a whole issue. Like, the way things work over here is like you have email chains that are as long as the Golos. And like, it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But I really don't understand. Like, what this guy felt the Heter Iska is, he had no idea what he was doing. The Chachmas Adam writes that you have to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, it's questionable for the Chachmas Adam whether it will work b'di eved or not, if you don't know what you're doing. If I just think it's like hocus pocus, right? Heter Iska, okay, Nishan Shabbos Garet. Right? It doesn't work like that.
Because how many
chassanim
understand what's the
ksuba? So, you should know, when I marry people off, one of the things I work with is you have to understand the ksuba, right? You have to go through it. The ksuba is not just a lovey-dovey, so wonderful. It's a legal document, right? It's kind of unfortunate. If I die, or if we get divorced, I will pay you X amount of money. Right? It's probably around $20,000 a year, or a full year. That's probably what a ksuba is worth. Yul Nariz wrote an article a few years ago about what the ksuba is worth. But, okay, but you got to know what it is. Right? There are obligations in the ksuba. Right? I'll take care of you. I'll support you. I'll work. Rebbetzin Shechter used to always joke, Herschel, we're going to make sure I change the nusach of the ksuba because it says I'm going to work and your students don't work. Right? She always used to like, okay. You got to be there. But... So the Chochmas Adam says that you have to know what the Heter Iska does. You have to understand it. So just having something in the packet that you don't understand is worthless. Now, does it work b'diyevet or not? So some quote that the reasoning behind the Chochmas Adam might be this Gemara in Harios. The Gemara in Harios discusses a case. Let's say I go to McDonald's one day, and I, you know, take off my rabbinic garb. I go into McDonald's and I eat a burger. I order a burger, I eat it. My bad luck. The day that I went to McDonald's, McDonald's ran out of treif meat. And they went down the block and they bought a kosher hamburger and they give me the kosher hamburger. So I'm planning on doing an isser. It ends up my bad luck. I did something that's not usser.
Less usser.
What?
Or less usser.
It's so, I'm eating a kosher hamburger, perfectly kosher, made, glatt kosher. I mean, a perfectly kosher hamburger, but I intended to eat chazer. Says the Gemara, I did an aveira. Right?
Yeah.
It's not like a full-fledged aveira, but it's still pretty bad. So the post can say, that's what's going on over here. If you think you're lending with interest, that's an aveira. It happens that there's some Heter Iska tacked away that really the terms are half milva, half pikadon, it's an investment, but you don't know? Usser. Based on this, that you really have to know, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avas Chesed, that before you go into business, you have to study the laws of Ribbis, and you have to study the laws of Iska to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, so that is going to be a problem. So one of the reasons why the Heter Iska Klali is very questionable is because you don't know that it exists, really. You sign a document one time, you have no idea what it means. You have like, it's like almost like Mechiras Chametz, Lahavdol. No? Then you have a line outside of the rabbi's office, come in, pick up a pen, sign, come in, pick up a pen, sign. You don't really understand how it works. Problematic. That's what many assume. Okay, again, it could be that b'diyevet it still works. In fact, I think the majority of poskim assume b'diyevet it still works. That's not a good idea. So we have this possibility called the Heter Iska Klali, 1924, big issue. Ultimately, Poskim don't like it. But we all use Heter Iska Klalis if you ever do banking in Israel. Go to Bank Leumi. By the way, the amazing thing is, all these Israeli banks have a number of different Heter Iskas. They have the Heter Iska of the Badat, the Heter Iska of the Rabbanut. It's like you're buying a candy bar, right? You have 10 different Hashgachas on the bank, right? In this Sefer over here, in the back of the book, he gives you texts of different Heter Iskas of different banks. I have to just find the right chapter. Here, Nuschos of Heter Iska. So here, this is the Heter Iska of the Chachmosan, the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, the Chsam Sefer, the Chsan Sefer, right? The Heter Iska here of Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Heter Iska of Bank Leumi that was done by the Rabbanut in 1969, the Heter Iska of 1976 of the Badatz Eide Charedis, the Heter Iska of 1984 for bank discount, the Heter Iska of Bank Poalei Agudas Yisrael, right? He gives you all the texts, and each one, they are improving and they're making certain, right, shiputzim and tikkunim. When a person goes into a bank and you sign a loan form, no? That I am borrowing money and I'm going to pay you back with interest. Do I know that it's done on Heter Iska? So some say, you know what, you don't really know, and it's a problem. Others say, one second. Whenever you go into a bank and you take out a loan, they give you a packet of papers. And you're going to sign those papers knowing that the loan that you're taking is governed by the bank's bylaws. No? So you know it's there. You might not understand it. It's like, you know, the little the fine print at the end of who knows what. No one really knows the fine print, but you know it's there. And you sign it. If you sign it, you can't say it's not there. So the Heter Iska Klali in a bank might be better than the Heter Iska Klali of Maharat, or the Heter Iska Klali of Reb Eger, because the Heter Iska Klali of the bank, everybody knows what they're getting into. In Reb Eger's case, I'm going to lend you money, I'm going to get... You don't know what's going on. But over here, everybody knows that they're agreeing to it. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes in one shuvah, in Chelek Bey, Simon, Samach Bey, that you have to know what's going on. Reb Moshe writes in Chelek Yimu Simon Mem Aleph, that in a bank case, if you don't know what's going on, it's good. And that's the reason. Because in a bank, right, everyone knows that you're governed by the bylaws, by the fine print. That is the story of a bank. Now, there is a very big Talmud Chacham. He's a dayan in one of the Bati Din in Lakewood, Rabbi Ari Marburger. So he has an English language sefer on Hilchos, on many halachos in Chosh and Mishpat, many halachos of business, including on rivers. So he has the following argument in one of the footnotes. He says, you know what? We're suggesting that Heter Iskas for banks are better. But one could argue that Heter Iskas for banks are worse. Because banks, at least in the United States, I think in all civilized countries, are governed by lots of laws called the SEC. Yeah. Right? Yeah. A bank is governed that they cannot invest money in a risky way. They have certain rules about what they can invest in and what they can't invest in. So now, what am I doing? I'm taking a loan from the bank with a Heter Iska, right? What that really means is it's an investment. An investment. The bank is not, right, or it goes both ways. Let's say I lend money to the bank. I lend money to the bank all the time. I never make a deposit. I'm lending money to the bank, no?
Yeah.
And I'm going to get profit. We call that interest, right, on my account.
Yeah.
Isn't that ribbis? Well, it's not ribbis because it's an investment. Heter Iska. An investment? The bank, right, I'm going to be getting, the bank might not be able to invest the money the way I want to invest the money. It might not work. There are strict rules, there are strict regulations in the SEC, so therefore, Rabbi Marburger in this footnote contends, maybe Heter Iska's banks are worse than a regular Heter Iska. Hi, Caroline.
Yes, I mean, I guess my question that I've been thinking about for the past 20 minutes or so is, I still don't see a clear distinction between a milva and a pikadon, because I still, like, on an intuitive level, it seems like any loan is an investment, like can be viewed as an investment.
No,
right?
It's like, really, but think about it. If I invest, so I'm giving you my thing, and you're taking care of my thing to make it become profitable.
Right.
When I give you a loan, I give it to you, it becomes yours. Whose item is it? That's a fundamental difference between a loan and a picadon.
Correct.
I mean,
you're not convinced.
I'm not convinced. Like, I still have to pay a loan back.
Absolutely. But when I pay back, what I'm doing is, I had money, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to give you some of my money that becomes yours. It's not like I'm giving you your thing. You see, if I give you my wallet to watch, you give me my same wallet back. Right? If I give the cash from my wallet, I don't expect the same dollar bills back. Right?
You expect the wallet.
It becomes yours. And then...
Still, it doesn't... In either case, I will give you different dollar bills back. Probably.
But again, well, with the wallet, I'm supposed to be giving the same wallet.
No. I mean, in the case where I'm giving you money...
So again, so sometimes, you know, money is fungible, and they let me... But fundamentally, if it's a loan, I don't have to give the same item back. Fundamentally, it became mine, and then I repay it.
But if you say it's a picadon, you also would not expect the same literal dollar bills back.
If I would give you money as a picadon, sometimes I can, like, ask you to watch my money.
That doesn't work when we have electronic banking anyway.
Okay,
there are websites today where you can, like, where individuals can go and buy shares, like, where people can go and buy shares in personal loans and make money.
Okay, so that's going to be Quicken Loans and stuff like that. So that's something I might want to talk about next week. Just because time is getting a little bit late now. But let's just...
Okay.
Yeah.
You know the bank in the neighborhood?
By the way, if banks are Jewish, it's a problem. If banks are non-Jewish, it's not a problem. Yeah.
I just have a question. You know the bank in the neighborhood, Berkshire Bank, that's owned by a Jew?
Okay. I don't know if they have I don't know anything about they have a heteros or what they have. I have no idea.
So can you bank there or not?
No idea. Don't know. I don't even know they're owned by Jews. I mean, like,
no,
I heard some rumors. I don't know.
I've been told it's owned by someone from Virgil.
I've also heard stuff, but I don't know if it's true.
Okay.
Fine. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein develops the following idea about banks, which is not accepted by many, but it's really interesting. See, Caroline was trying to push before about what's the difference between a loan, let's say, and an investment. So Rav Moshe says something like this. You know, in halacha, there are two types of obligations. One is called shibud haguf, the other is called shibud nechasim. If I owe someone money, so effectively, there's a lien on my estate, and in some ways, you could come and take my stuff away to pay the loan.
Correct.
Even if I have no money, I have a personal obligation to make good. So that's called shibud haguf. In other words, if I owe you $1,000, so in theory, there's shibud nechasim, you could come and collect my land, you could collect stuff that I own. That you file for bankruptcy, you could foreclose, right? And they could take away your stuff. That's shibud nechasim. But there's also a shibud haguf, which is that you have a personal obligation to pay the loan back. In other words, I borrow $1,000, I don't have the money. What I'm supposed to do is go knock on doors and say, give me a little bit of money, I have to pay someone back. That's what shibud haguf.
Yeah, but then you have to pay those people back.
Correct. I'll deal with that later.
Okay.
But there's shibud nechasim and shibud haguf.
Okay.
Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in this chuba, the last paragraph of Chelek Beis Simen Samach Gimel. Hine ani amarti chidush bin yin iser ribis. Vuhula daiti barur ladina. I said a chidush and I think it's right. B'dabrez asheruba deruba de inchi meinichem alosein b'mdino sena b'ha bank. Most people put money in the bank and they get the ribis that they get from the bank. U'bifrat be'elu shenikru saving bank. V'yesh gam bank shehem shel Yehudim. There are Jewish banks. She'ein over an iser ribis. T'ikala malva v'alove. Mishum distam malva harei ikka shibur haguf. Like we say in Ksuba Staf Pevav, and there's also Chiyuv Lahasing Mosai De Pu'ulo Shanyonim Vishalim, Ukshlo Yishalim, Avau Chiyuvo. Mehai Tam, it could be Zayon Lahalovet, Shemes Velo Parachov, Ashahayalo, Mimala Shalim. Basically, what he's saying is like this: an ordinary Lova, a borrower, has a Shibut Haguf. He has a personal obligation to pay up. But the way banks work, and banks are corporations, a corporation by definition means that there is no personal liability. I know there's S-class corporations, there's all these different things,
C-class.
By definition, the standard corporation is that there is no personal liability. So the assets of the bank can be taken. But no one can go and knock on one of the directors of the bank's door and say, pay up, because I'm not obligated. The bank is obligated. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, since a bank is a corporation, so therefore there is no prohibition of ribis, because it's not a regular borrower. The bank is allowed to pay ribis. Not a problem at all. Because, right, the bank has no shibud haguf. Now, many do not agree with Reb Moshe.
This is even
the Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Minchas Yitzchak, they don't agree. Reb Moshe is saying, again, this would not be true if I accept a loan from a bank, because then I have a shibud haguf. But when I give money to the bank has no iser ribis, and I can get the money back with interest from the bank, no? Because the bank has no shibud. The bank has no shibud haguf.
This
is Ramosha's wild idea. What?
By a Jew.
Even if the bank is owned by a Jew. Even if the entire board of directors are Jews. I think Safra had a bank. No?
So why can't we all just incorporate ourselves?
Oh, okay. So the Bris Yehuda, Rabbi Lau, right, says maybe we should just all incorporate ourselves. So he says, come on. Right? In other words, a bank is a real corporation. A corporation just in name only. Like,
you can make an LLC.
Yeah. So this is a very good question. Right? In other words, I pay rent to an LLC. No? I'm not paying rent to the owner of... So it's not... 1,000,000% sure. Rav Blau in the Bris Yehuda says obviously that doesn't work, and he like shuts the door on it. Now the whole Rav Moshe is difficult. Like Rav Moshe is developing an idea that a loan means I have a personal obligation. There's no such thing as a personal obligation in the Pikadon case, no? So by definition, what Rav Moshe is saying is that banks don't need a heter iska at all. It's not really accepted. Fine. Let's just look at this heter iska for 2 minutes, and then we'll... This is the Bezin of America's heter iska. I don't know. It says page 1, it's maybe page 5. Okay, he tells us, Jewish religious law prohibits paying or receiving interest, blah, blah, blah. Right? The way he has is, I, the undersigned, have received from, let's say, Danny, the sum of $1,000, repayable over 2 years, for the purpose of transacting business in connection with, right? In other words, they have you specify the business.
Contrary to
Rev Moshe. Right? Profits and losses are equally shared. This said, Danny has agreed that in lieu of such sharing of profits, which requires substantiation by two trustworthy witnesses, verification of all profits by oath, he shall accept my payment of an annual percentage of 93% of the said sum, right, of $10,000, whatever, and waive all other profits. And I received a token payment of $1 from the said Danny, right, for my efforts as the manager, etc. That's the heter iska. There's a few problems with this heter iska. It's not perfect. One, they specify the business. Two, it's only signed by the recipient. A much better heter iska is signed both by the giver and the recipient, because like we mentioned, you have to really understand what's going on in the heter iska. This is the standard Beis Din of America form. You can get this on their website, like I just did today. I'm not crazy about it. I think there are better versions of heter iskas. In the Rabbi Reisman book on Ribbis, he has a few better versions of heter iskas. I'm not exactly sure. This is actually very good in the sense of it's user-friendly. It takes you 5 minutes to fill out, or less, no?
Yeah.
It's a very user-friendly form. However, you know, like what we saw in the back of that sefer, that heter iska is an ongoing process to try to improve it over time, etc. So, okay. So, thank you for listening, and have a good night, and don't charge interest.